Begin the current daf, Mesechtas Bava Metzia, daf Mem Daled. Begin on the bottom of daf Mem Gimel Beis, 7 lines up from the bottom of the Amud. But the Gemara continues with the final mission in this parak, continuing on the halachas of Hamafkid regarding someone that gives a deposit to someone else. So on that, the Mishnah says the following halacha. Hachayshiv l'shloich yad bepikadon. There is a halacha called Shlichas Yad, which is one of the oaths that a shomer takes when something happens to the object that he was watching and he wants to exempt himself. He has to swear that not only was it something that he's not liable for, but that he wasn't Shleich Bayad, which means that he didn't touch and misappropriate and use it for his own purposes. So on that, our Mishnah has a machlekes regarding a specific case regarding somebody that thought to go ahead and be Shleich Bayad Bebekad. In other words, he said in front of witnesses, I am going to take that deposit that guy gave to me, and I'm going to go ahead and use it. Which that would have been Shalichas Yad, but he never ended up doing it. But he thought and he said that he's going to use it. Bishami say that from that day onward, even if he never ends up touching it, he's liable an einsin as if he was Shalich Bayad, and therefore he's going to be liable for anything that happens to that object. But Beisil disagree, and they say that he's only chayiv if he actually goes ahead and touches, stretches out a hand and misappropriates the object that he's watching. Shneim, like it says a pasuk in Shemais, im lo yishalach yad b'melechus re'eyu, that he takes to the oath that if he didn't stretch out his hand regarding his other friend's work, regarding his object, that is the oath that he takes. And he couldn't take such an oath, because although he said that he's going to, but he never did, and therefore he's not going to be liable. Another halacha the Mishnah tells us, regarding this halacha of shlichus yad, is hita es hachavis. If let's say the shomer goes and tilts the barrel, the notle men the revius, and he takes a revius, which is a certain measurement of that liquid, that beverage, let's say wine, from that barrel, and then the nishbara. Then at a later point in time, after it was where it was always kept that he was watching this guy's barrel, it breaks. So says the Mishnah, ein misham el revius. So he's only going to have to compensate the owner, the one who deposited with him, for that revius that he went and he used from that barrel. Now the reason being why he's not going to be chayav on the rest of the barrel for the einus that happened to it is because the halacha of shlichas yad, of touching and using the deposit, you're supposed to just be watching, to be liable on einsin is only if you did a kinyan on it. When your shlichas yad is that you have to do either meshicha to draw it or hagbah, pick it up, and then you're kainit with halachas like similar to Goslin, which is what a shliach siyad is on some level. But here, he didn't pick it up or draw it. He just tilted it and took out a revius of wine. So although that he's liable for, because he's not allowed to take the revius of wine, but the rest of the barrel, if something later happens to it, he's not chayv mindsin, it's not considered like he was shliach bayad. But, higbiya v'notle min revius. But let's say if he lifted up the barrel, and then he took a revius of wine of it, which then he acquired the barrel by lifting it up, which that's a full-fledged shlichas yad. Who are you touching this guy's wine that you're supposed to be watching? Moreover, you have the other element of shlichas yad, according to those opinions that hold that shlichas yad tzricha chisaron, there's a lacking here because he took a revius of liquid from that barrel, and then v'nishbra, then at a later point in time, then it breaks, then he's chayv an einsin like halach of shlichas yad, and mishamad mekul is going to have to pay for the whole value of the loss of the barrel, and not just for the revius that he took. Now continue to talk about Memdal and Al, where the Gemara says, Manan Amili. From where do we know these two opinions of Bisham and Basil regarding if one just thinks and says he's going to do Shlichas Yad, if you're Chayiv or not, which are the respective opinions of Bisham and Basil? So says the Gemara, the Tarnabon, like we learned in Abraisa. The Pasuk in Shemai says, I'll call Dvar Pesha, which literally that's usually translated as, for everything that's a negligence. Regarding that is what the Shem is liable for. But Bisham and Aymrim, Bishamay say that Malama, what that comes to teach when it says I'll call Dvar Pesha, the word Dvar Kurosa mean for every word of negligence, it teaches Shachayev ala Machshava Kamaisa that you're liable for Shlichas Yad for misappropriating the other person's object, just for the thought and verbalizing that you're going to do that, as if you actually did that, and that already Dvar already holds the Shemer liable just for the fact that he said he's going to. Or Basila, I mean, they disagree. They said, no, ein chayv ad sheyishlach bayad. He's only liable until he actually stretches out his hand and physically misappropriates the object. Shnema, because it says in the pasuk before that, it says over there where the nikr balabai say alokim, that the homeowner, meaning the shomer, is going to come to court and he's going to swear that what? Im lo yishalach yad b'melechus re'eyu, if he didn't stretch out his hand regarding his friend's work, meaning that he didn't actively touch it. So the critical factor is, did he touch it? And he didn't, and therefore, since he didn't touch it, even though he professed that he's going to, therefore, say Basil, he's going to be exempt. Now, Amr lehem b'sham l'basil. But then the Braisa continues, b'sham esir to b'sil. Wait a second. But what's with the pasuk I'm bringing? It says, for every word of negligence, you see, just thinking about it is the same as doing it. So Amr lehem b'sil b'shamay. So b'sil responds back to b'shamay. But what about my pasuk? My pasuk says that it's only if he actually shaleich bayad, that if he actually touches it. And you see the critical factor is touching. So, says Beisil to Beishamai. So, imke matam ulema kol dvar pasha. So, what am I going to do with your pasuk? So, I'm showing where my source is from. That you act, it's about touching it. What's with your words about kol dvar pasha? So, that's say Beisil, because that's coming to teach a different halacha. Sheyachol, because you would think, ainli elohu, that it's only if the shomer misappropriates the object, then he's going to be chayv now for all the einsin as a shaleich bayat. But Amr la'avdayu l'shluchoy, but if, let's say, he tells his slave or his agent that other person should be shaleich bayad, and the agent does what the shomer told him to do, minayin, for we would we know that even then is the shomer going to be liable as a shaleich bayad? That's what the pasuk is coming to teach, not your halacha that machshava is enough to be like ma'isa. Rather, it's teaching al kol dvar pesha, for every word of negligence, meaning just his words that he tells and appoints an agent verbally to do that, that shliach shel adam is going to be kameis, is going to be like the mishaleach, although he didn't do it himself, but appointing his shliach to do it is going to be make him liable al kol dvar pesha, and therefore Beisil does not agree to Beishamai. Therefore you're going to be exempt if he just thought or said he's going to do it if he didn't actually touch it. Now the Mishnah told us hitas achavis v'chulu that there's a difference regarding how he took this revius of liquid from the barrel. If the shomer went and just tilted it, so then he didn't do any kinyonim on it, and therefore he's going to be exempt on the rest, versus if he picked it up or did mashiach, he did some type of a kinyon, that's a full foot shlech b'yad, then he would be chayiv on the rest. So Omar Rabba qualifies this halacha, and he says, Loi shana, we did not learn that when he takes a revius of wine from the barrel and he didn't lift up the entire barrel, that then these patri is exempt on the rest of it. Says Rabba, that's Ela Nishbara. That's only if subsequently the barrel broke, which is an einis, and since he never acquired it as a shlichas yad, he's not chayv in the einsin. Ava lechemitza, but says Rabba, if because he took out a revius of wine, the rest of the wine that's in the barrel soured, says Rabba, that's a negligence. And that's considered actively destroying the rest of the wine. And the reason being is because since he took out some of the wine, that caused the rest to sour, because that's how wine is. When there's an empty or barrel of wine, when there's very little left, it sours easier. And then says Rabbi Mishal Maskula. Then in that case, even though he just tilted out and didn't do any hakbah, any kinyanim on the entire barrel, he's going to be chayiv on the rest of the wine that gets ruined. My time, what's the reason? Because girei didei hu da'hanila. It was his arrows that caused it to sour. Because he took out some, it's like he actively damaged the rest. Although the Mishnah tells us that you're not going to be chayav on the rest, that's if an einis happens, because he's not considered shleich bayad. But for a different reason, he would be chayav on the whole thing if it sours. That's because he actively soured it by taking out some wine, and that lessens the volume of the wine, that causes the rest to sour, and it was him that caused it, and therefore he's going to be chayav as a mazik on the rest of the wine. Now, then the Mishnah said, but if let's say he did hagbah, he lifted it up, which is a kinyan in the barrel, then and he took a revius of wine, then he's going to be chayv on the rest as the classic halacha of shaleich bayad. Now, Amar Shmuel qualifies this halacha and he says, loy notl mamish. When the Mishnah says that he took a revius, it doesn't mean literally that he took a revius of wine. Elikivin shehigbiya little. But as long as when he lifted up the barrel, was with the intention of taking revius of wine, then afa pishlei notel, and even if he didn't ultimately take the revius of wine, he's still considered a shaleich bayad, and he's going to be chayv on all einsin that subsequently happened to this entire barrel. So that the Gemara says, leima kasav Shmuel, so is that to say that Shmuel holds shlich is yad, in its yuchich chesar? It seems like Shmuel is professing the opinion, which is a machlik, is brought in previous dafim, that when you're shaleich bayad, when you're misappropriating someone's object, it doesn't have to be create a lacking in the object. Because here he's saying that although the Mishnah says that he took, it doesn't have to actually take. As long as his intention was to take, even though he didn't take, but that's considered misappropriation. So you see that you don't need chesar to create liabilities of shlich is yad. On that army, they said, loy. No, not necessarily the case. Could be Shmuel usually holds shlichas yad nitz chesar. But Shani Hach, in this case of the barrel, is different because denichelet de hava hachavas kula buses laharavis, because this shomer, who's misappropriating this barrel, who intends to take revius of wine from it, the reason why he doesn't take out the revius of wine is not because it's like he wasn't mechaser and take away revius of wine. He did take away, but he wants that the rest of the barrel should be a holding place for that revius that he wants to steal. In other words, he wants it to protect his revius that it shouldn't sour. As we said in the previous Gemara's discussion, that when there's less wine, it sours more easier. And therefore, the truth is that in general, Shmuel holds that in a general shlichus yad, you need chesaron. And someone that takes a deposit and he picks it up with the intention of being shleich bayad, as long as he did not create a lacking, he's not going to be liable for the lifting up as a kinyan, since he didn't take anything with the intention to steal the whole thing. Rather, he only took it to be shleich bayad. And in the prism of shlichus yad, if one took it to steal, so then you're right away chayv. You don't have to be lacking anything. Once you take a gezela, you're stealing. But he's not taking it to steal it. He was taking it just to misappropriate it, to use it, to be shleich bayad. But shlichus yad, as the Gemara is saying for Shmuel right now, without a chisaron, is not a shlichus yad. But in this case of the wine, which is only protected in the vessel that's full, so the mechanics of it is working as follows. It's like as if he took the revius of wine, and as if he put it right back to be protected with the rest of the wine. And therefore, he becomes like a shoyl on the rest of the barrel as a classic shlichus yad, which like you're a shoyl because kolano shaloi, and you're going to be chayiv on all the einsin. But it's not. But it's like you took it, and therefore there was a chesaron, and like you just put it back because that's how it's going to be protected. So as long as he lifted it up with the intention of taking a piece of wine, it's considered shlichus yad, the ispi chesaron. Now, Bayer Vash asks a similar case type of a question. Higbia arniki, if someone lifted up a purse, litel amena dinner, with the intention this is a shamer who's watching this other person's purse, and he lifted it up to do shlichus yad, to take from it a dinner, one coin. But he didn't ultimately take the coin. Now, according to Shmuel, Mahu, what's the halacha going to be? As the Gemara explains the question, chamru hu delay minter il agav chamru, by wine, it's only protected based on the other wine. So that's where Shmuel said his logic, his chiddush, that although you need to have a chesaron, but it's like you took the revius and you put it back in, because that's how it's going to stay protected, but it's like you took it and you put it back. So therefore, it's going to be a shlichus yad disper chesaron, and that's why you're chayav on all the barrel of wine. Avozuza minter, but a coin is protected by itself. He doesn't need it to be considered part and supported by the rest of the purse, and therefore maybe there Shmuel would agree that it's not like you took it and you put it back, and therefore since it's not like you took it and put it back because you don't need the rest of the purse, therefore then you're not going to be chayav mishlichus yad because there's no chesaron yet. Or maybe that no. Shani niterusa de arniki niterusa de dinner, that the protection that is afforded by a purse is different and better than the protection of one individual coin. Because a full purse is more visible, it's more protected, and it's not so easily lost like an individual coin. And maybe then Shmuel would say his same halachic logic of chiddush in the case of the money too with the purse. It would be considered like, since he picked it up with the intention of taking the dinner, but he's like, you know, I'm not going to take it, I'm going to lose that one coin. I'm just going to leave it here. But it would be considered like as if he took it out and put it back in, which it was originally a shlichus yad de ispi chesaron, and therefore maybe he would be chayiv on the liabilities of even einzin on the whole purse. So the Gemara take it, let it stand. It's not clear if that would be the same equivalent as the case of the wine, or it would be different, and it's not considered a shlichus yad de ispi chesaron. Hanulach hamafkid, we shall return to the third perek of Masechet Bava Metzia, perek hamafkid, and with that we begin the fourth perek of Bava Metzia, perek hazav, where it continues along the theme of the previous parakim regarding the halachas of Beinodim Lachaveri regarding monetary law, although it's not discussing the halachas of Metzias anymore, of found objects, it continues into halachas of Kinyanim, of acquisitions, and specifically the halachas of this parak. We'll talk about Mekach HaMemker regarding Masamatan, business deals, and later on the parak regarding Einah, regarding price fraud, regarding purchasing, how much is fair pricing, and what would be considered unfair, that then it would be considered not a fair sale and then undone. Now, specifically regarding this Mishnah, which we talk about Kinyanim, which go into the halachas of purchasing, where one is buying one thing and the other one is selling it, the halacha is that money does not acquire the purchased object. So when the seller gets the money, that's not an acquisition. It's actually only the Kinyan of the sale item, the object, which you do a kinyan, whether it be mashicha or hagbah, however way that there is a kinyanim in the metaltan, the movable item, that's the final kinyan. So that's the discussion about Mishnah regarding two different items. How do we know which is which? Sometimes it's pretty obvious when you give money and then you're going to a store. So it's obvious that the kinyan, the mashicha of the object, will create the kinyan, and the other parties, no party can go ahead and withdraw from that because it's already done deal. That person already has it. So because the money is obviously not going to create it. But sometimes it's not clear which one is the money and which one is the purchase object. That's the discussion of our Mishnah. So says the Mishnah, if someone is purchasing golden dinari coins and he's paying for it with silver dinar, and he gives the and the person gives him the golden dinar, the golden coins. So says the Mishnah, the drawing of Hazahav, the kinyan, the drawing near, which is what a kinyan mashiach is, when the individual takes the golden coins, who he paid with it, his silver coins to get it, will be kaina es hakesef, will acquire to the original owner of the golden coins, that will create the kinyan for him of the silver coins. And that makes that then he's liable to him to give him the silver coins. Because from the moment that he receives the golden coins, that makes, because the intention was for him to give the silver coins, now he can't retract from that already. And because, as we're going to explain, the gold is considered the pre. It's considered the product. The silver is considered the money. And the money doesn't acquire. Rather, the mashicha, the kinya of the pre acquires. So when one of the two parties, he's the one that draws the golden coin to himself, automatically now the seller, who we're going to call him the seller, acquires the silver coins, which is the money. Because again, it's the kinyan of the bought item, of the pre, which creates the kinyan, and then no one can retract. But the other way around, hakesef ain't a koines azav. The when one party receives the silver coin, that does not make that the other party acquires the golden coin. Because if, let's say, the first one to give to the other one is the one who gives the silver coins, then it does not acquire the gold, and actually both of them could retract, because the silver coin in this context is considered the money. Now the reason for this is, as the Gemara will explain, is because the silver coins are more current in currency. It's what's used, it's more universal, which is essentially what money is. It's the most equal medium to be able to purchase things for, in contrast to products, which I don't necessarily need this, but money is something that could always be used. So silver is the most applicable, whereas the golden coins are only going to be considered like metaltlin, movable items, and payers. It's the product. And the halacha, as we mentioned before, money does not acquire until you do the mashicha on the metaltlin, on the product. But the drawing of the metaltlin will acquire the sale. And therefore, then no one could retract. Now, the Gemara Daf Mem Zayin Amud Beis will explain the reason why that is. Why is it that money does not create the acquisition? Those who say because we learned the halacha midaraisa is only mashicha, the drawing of the product is a biblical law. And are those who say that, no, actually, the money really would acquire biblically, but it's a rabbinic concern that says that, no, we don't allow the money to create the acquisition, but rather the drawing of the product. But either way, whether it's biblical or rabbinic, that's the halacha that mo'is are not kindness, rather the product is kaina, and that's what our Mishnah is discussing, which one is considered the product and which one is considered the money. So the opening halacha of this Mishnah is that when there's an exchange of gold coins to the other one with silver coins, the silver coins are considered the money, which does not, even if he gave it, does not create the sale yet, both could still retract, versus the golden coins are considered the pre, the product, and when one gives the other one the golden coins, now automatically this guy owes him the silver coins because that has finalized the sale. Continuing to the next case, Hanacheshes, the coins of copper, Koine es hakesef, acquires the silver, whether they be dinarim of kesef, these are silver coins, or any coin that, or any silver coin, whether the dinarim or other types of silver coins, they all have the same reasoning as we said before, because the one that's considered primary as a coin, which is the most current, the most universal, is considered the money, and therefore will not acquire. And the one that's not as, even if it itself is a coin, which that's what the prutei nechayshes are, coins, but they're not as universal and as current as the silver ones, therefore they're considered like the payers, and therefore that drawing that will create and confirm the sale. So the nechayshes will acquire the silver because the nechayshes are considered the pre in this context. But again, silver is the most universal type of a currency. So that's considered the money. And if he gives him the silver, he has not acquired the copper coins. So to mois harois, bad money, meaning to say that they were invalidated as currency, kindness is a yafa, so therefore it's not considered as money, but rather as something of value, which is metalton, like a pri, so therefore kindness is a yafa, it will acquire the good currency, because again, the good currency is considered the money, in contrast, this is like metalton, like something just of intrinsic value, but not of currency value. But by yafis, any kindness is a rice, but the good money does not acquire the bad money, again, because that's considered the money, and money cannot acquire the object. So to asimon. Asimon is something that is a coin, but doesn't have the image on it. So it's a round coin that's ready to receive an image with a stamp, but it doesn't have that. So again, it's not considered the coin, the currency. So kindness amatbeah, since it's the metatlan item, it will acquire the coin. But the coin will not acquire the asimon, again, because the coin is the money, and the asimon is the pri, and giving the coin does not acquire the product. Metatlan kindness amatbeah, again, the same idea, the movable items acquires the money, matbeah in the kindness of metatlan, but the coin does not acquire the movable item. So says the Mishnah Zeh HaKlal, which some take out to Girsik, it's not generalizing the concept we're talking about, but it does continue on this theme, that this is the rule, kol matatlan kindness zeh azeh. All movable items acquire one with the other. And that would be whether that's through the halacha of chalipin, which is just transferring one thing to the other, where once one draws one metalton item, the other one automatically acquires his. Or even when it's not being used in the context of the kinyan of chalipin, which is barter, but rather that of even money, of purchasing, buying something with something, as one would do with money, where one guy tells the other guy, says, well, how much are you willing to sell this to me for? And he says, for this amount. And the other guy then says to the other guy, well, how much would you be willing to sell your item to me for? He says, this and this amount, and it's the same amount, and they're both willing to, so to speak, buy from the other one. Once one draws from the other one, then that already finalized the sale, and now the other one is obligated to give his object, and they cannot retract. And Rashi says, what does it mean that when it says, kol matatlan, all movable items will acquire one the other, that's coming to include even a purse full of money, with another purse full of money, as Rosh Lakish on Daf Mem Vav basically explains in the Gemara, where we're considering that as metatlan, and therefore the halachas will apply. It's not money. Money is the one thing that cannot acquire by giving. But here, where they're both considered metatlan, then drawing either one will be the meshicha of the product and will finalize the sale, and the other one then has to give what he had made up, and neither one could retract. Now the Mishnah says, Ketzad, coming to explain the first halachas of our Mishnah, what is the fundamental principle of our Mishnah? So says the Mishnah, if one of the two parties drew the product, the peiris, and he didn't yet give money, says the Mishnah, he cannot retract anymore. It's already a done deal. It's already a sale. He already acquired through the Meshicha of the product. Now he already became acquired and became indebted, the money, whichever one that is, to the other party that he has to pay to the seller to. But nothing lay mois bully mashakam in the Paris. But if he gave money, he already paid. But he didn't draw the product yet. That's what we're saying. Yachal achzabay, then either one of the two parties could retract because it's not a done deal. It's not a sale yet, again, whether biblically or rabbinically, until there's Meshicha on the product. Aval amru. But the mission said, but they did say that even though that if he gave money, that but if the product wasn't drawn yet, that either party could retract. But they said that Misha Par me anchedar hamabal medar aflaga, referring to Hashem, he who punished from the generation of the flood and from the generation of dispersion to epochs, critical junctures in history, as is brought in Sefer Bereishis, where Hashem punished them, one bringing the flood and destroying all of mankind, and one dispersing them throughout the world, who asalihi para mimisha'inu amin bidiburi. He's going to ultimately punish a person that doesn't stand behind his word. Meaning to say that, meaning additionally, that the money was given, but again, one could retract, but one receives the curse of Mishapara, that's the way it's called. He who punished them will punish such a person, even though it could retract, but once the money was given, then a person should not retract, even though halachically he could, because of the not standing behind his word. Now, Reb Shimon Naimer, he says, Kol shakesef biyadoi, whoever has the money in his hand, yadei alal yoino, he has the upper hand. Now, as Rashi says, Shimon's coming to dispute the Rabbanan, who they said that once the money was given to the seller, he said that, the Rabbanan said that still they could either one could retract, even the lekech, even the consumer who already paid for it could still retract. That's where Reb Shimon is coming to say that, no, the seller, who everything is in his hand at this point, he still has the merchandise, he didn't give it to him yet, and he has the money, so he could retract. But the consumer, who doesn't have anything, doesn't have the product yet, and he already gave his money, he cannot retract. And the Gemara of Mem Tezem Abayz will explain the reasoning for this halacha of Reb Shimon. Now, regarding the opening halacha of our Mishnah, of Hazav Kainas HaKesav, but HaKesav Eina Kainas Hazav, the Gemara tells us that actually Masna Lei Rebbe Reb Shimon Berei. Rebbe had taught to his son Reb Shimon, who Rebbe was the redactor of the Mishnais, he put it all together, he taught him our Mishnah. And he told him, Hazav Kainas HaKesav, that gold, as we explained, is the pre. Silver is considered the primary universal type of currency. It's considered the money. The money does not acquire, but the gold does acquire. So Hazav Kainas HaKesav, the gold will acquire the silver. So Amalei, Reb Shimon, the son of Rebbe, said to his father, Rabbi, my teacher, Shanas Lano Bialdoseich, you taught us when you were younger, the other way around, you taught us HaKesev Kainas Hazav, that the silver is the pre. It acquires the gold. Now, you teach us otherwise when you're elderly, Hazav Kainas HaKesev, that gold acquires the silver. What is this that you were younger, you said the other way, and now when you're older, you say the way it's brought in our Mishnah? So on that, the Gemara explains, Bialduse Maisava, when he was younger, what did Rebbe hold? Ubizuknuse Maisava, when he was elderly, which is as we have it in our Mishnah, what did he hold? So the Gemara explains, Bialduse Sava, when he was younger, Rebbe thought that the Hava, the Chashiv, gold, which is more expensive, more distinguished, gold is more rare, it's more expensive. So Hava Tiva, so that's the coin, that's the currency. Kasper de lechashiv have a pair, but silver, which is not as chashiv as gold, well, that's considered the pre. Money, something that's chashiv, it's more universal, it's something more precious, that could be used as currency to buy little things, fruit, stuff. So the kesev is considered a pre in regards to the more expensive, more chashiv gold. And therefore, v'kane le per lativa. So that's why, as we said, that it's the pre that could acquire the coin. So it's the kesev that's kind of the zav, and not zav being kind of a kesev. That's what he held when he was younger. But Beziknusi Sub, when he got older, he thought that no. Kaspa, silver, as we continue to tell him, Beis, the Charif, which literally means to say that it's sharp. What it means to say is that it's more current. It's what's called Eivul HaSeicher. It's more universal. It's used by everybody. So Havatiba, that's the defining factor in creating it in the utility as coin, as a currency. The Hava, gold, although it's more Chashib, it's more expensive. The Loi Charif, but it's not as useful, it's not utilitarian as silver, have a payer. So that makes it into a product that you would get, but it's not as universal as currency, so that therefore it's considered the pre, and becomes payer relative. And again, as we said, it's the payer that acquires the coin, and therefore it's going to be hazav kainas hakesev, not hakesev kainas hazav. Now, Amr of Ashri, Vashri says, ki alduse mistabra. Vashri says, it's more logical to say the way he had said it when he was younger, and not the way he said it as he was older. Because it's most definite that the earlier version was the way he received it from his teacher, Reb Meir, who Stam Mishnayis, anonymous Mishnah, is generally like Reb Meir. Now, how can we prove that our Mishnah really should say the way he said it when he was younger, which is HaKesav Kain Azav, not the way we have it of Azav Kain HaKesav? So says Reb Ashi, Midik Tani, for the fact that the Mishnah then continued with the next case. What's the next case? The next case will prove that really it should be HaKesav Kain HaZav, because it says, after this case in the Mishnah, it says, Hanachesh is Kainas HaKesef. The copper coins will be considered the pre and will acquire the silver coins. Says Rav Ashi, I amit bishleim kaspa legabe dahava peira. However, if you would say the way the earlier version of Rebbe was, that silver in regards to gold is considered the product, as we say that HaKesef Kainas HaZav. So, Hayne de Kosa, that would explain why it was necessary for the Antoni that the Mishnah should tell us, Hanachesh is Kainas HaKesef. But, however, that copper will acquire the silver. Meaning, it's coming to tell us, that although silver in regards to gold, gold is considered more chashiv, more central to consider it as a coin, and the silver is going to be more inferior, so therefore like a product. Now, but legam and chashiv, that's what the Mishnah would be teaching us. But regarding copper, which copper is less chashiv than even silver, tivahava. In that case, that is going to change. It's relative to what you're defining it in contrast to. Silver in regards to gold, again, if we're going like the earlier version of Rebbe, is a peri. But silver in regards to copper is considered more central, more chashiv, more concrete to consider it as the money and the copper as the pri. So that's what the Mishnah then would be telling us, that's chiddush. Although we just said that keser was like a pri, but that's in regards to gold. But in regards to copper, it's the coin. But if you would entertain to say like the later version of Rebbe, the way we have it in our Mishnah, that silver, even in regards to gold, is considered the coin. And therefore, we would say, as we have in the Nusach of our Mishnah, that the gzav is kainas akesa, the gold acquires the silver. Then why do I need to Mishnah then to say the next case of copper acquires silver? If in regards from silver to gold, where gold is even more chashiv than silver, still you say that the silver is considered a coin. So like Abin Chayshis, in regards to copper, the iu chashiv, the iu charif. So in regards to copper, where the silver is more chashiv, it's more expensive, and it's more current, mi baya? Do I need to say that the silver is going to be the coin? What would be the necessity? Obviously, says Rav Ashi, you could prove that from our Mishnah, that the primary version of that, which is coming from a mayor, you could prove in the next case that really it's supposed to say Akesav Kaina Zav, not the way Rebbe later retracted, as we have it in our Mishnah, Mazav Kaina as Akesav. So the Gemara says, no, it's not true, it's not a Raya. Itzrich, it would be necessary to say the case of Hanachesh's Kaina Akesav, even if you hold, as we have it in our version, Azav Kainas Akesav. Kasalka Daitachamina, you would have thought to say, Hani Priti, Ba'astu Desagia, these copper coins, in places where they are used, Inu Charifit Femikas, they're used more than the silver coins. Every day you go to a store, you go buy to the Makolet, you buy something, you're using the smaller currency, the copper coins. So therefore, I would say that in contrast to the silver coins, that actually the copper coins are considered the coins, and it'd be hakesef kainas nachishes, and not hanachishes kainas kesef. Even if kesef is charef and it's more chashiv, but in regards to the primary component, which again we're going like the later version of Rebbe, which holds the defining characteristic is its utility, which the primary utility are the copper coins in the places that they used. So you would think that would be considered the coin. Kamash Malan, that's what the Mishnah is coming to tell us. Kiven de ikka duchta de leisaki, since there are places where they don't use the copper coins. So then we consider the more universal aspect of it. Even though in places where they do use it, the copper coins are more current, but since universally silver is more universal, therefore we're going to consider the copper coins as the pre, and therefore it's going to be anachayshas kaina as a kesef, even though we already said that kesef is a coin in regards to gold, we still have to tell you that it's considered a coin in regards to copper, and therefore there's no raya. But, says the Gemara, just like Rav Ashi wanted to say that it's more logical like the first version of Rebbe when he was younger, Sotribchia held that the hava tivahava, that the gold is considered the currency, not like we have it in our Mishnah, that the gold is the pre and that it's the silver that's the currency. What's the proof? From the following incident. The Rav Eziv Dinari. Rav had borrowed golden coins, golden dinarim, Mibrati Drebchia, from the daughter of Rebchia, and he was related to Rebchia, was his uncle. So he borrowed from his cousin, the daughter of Rebchia, golden coins. Now, L'saif Iyaka Dinri. Later, before he got a chance to pay back the golden coins, the price of golden coins had gone up. Now, Aslakamid Rebchia. So he came in front of Rebchia because he was concerned with a halachic shaila of ribis. The reason for that is because he borrowed the golden coins, which are worth, let's say, $1,000. By the time he's going to pay back the golden coins, the price of golden coins went up. He's now going to be paying back the same amount of golden coins, but it's going to have a value of $1,500. That is a problem about borrowing on interest. So that's what he came to Reb Chiya for. So his uncle Reb Chiya told him, Zil shalom la tovin v'tkilin. Go ahead and pay her good and weighty coins. Give back exactly the amount of coins that you had borrowed. It's okay. It's no problem. So says the Gemara, Iyamit b'shleima dahavativa. This is the proof that the Gemara is saying that Reb Chiya held that the gold is considered the coin and not the pri. Because if you say that gold is considered the coin, so therefore, the way it works is that the fluctuations, the inflation and the deflation of currency and of markets are not dependent on the currency per se. It's rather in the products, meaning to say that what the purchasing power of money is really dependent on the merchandise. That's what goes up or down relative to the amount of money that you have to pay. So therefore, Shapi, it would make sense why Rebbe Chiya told him it's okay. Even though when you say golden coins went up, it just means to say that it has $1,000 worth of buying power. Now it has $1,500 worth of buying power. There is no change in the coin itself. So Shapi, that makes sense. You took a certain amount of coins. You can give back a certain amount of coins because there's no interest in the coins per se. Eli Yamrit Pei Rahava. But if you say that gold is a product, Havalei Sa Bisa. So then one enters into the paradigm of Sa Bisa, which is a discussion brought later on, Daf Ayin Hei Amud Aleph, which is that when someone borrows a certain amount measurement of a product, and then if it goes up in price, then when he's giving back the same product, he's actually going to be violating that precept of ribis, and the usur, then it would be forbidden, because as we learn later on, Daf Ayin Hei Amud Aleph, it says that a person cannot tell his friend, look, lend me a kor, which is a certain amount of wheat, and I will give you, when I have from my granary, when I'll process it, I'll give you back that same amount of wheat at the later point in time. That's forbidden. Why is that forbidden? Because maybe in the interim, the price of wheat will go up in price, and that will be entering into the problem of ribis, because you're giving back more than what you took on the loan, which is considered a problem of interest. So says the Gemara, obviously Reb Chiya held that dahava, that gold, is a coin. Currency is not something that it itself, it's just buying power. But it's the products that are supply and demand that creates the fluctuation. That's what goes up and down. That's what changes value. So if you say that gold is the coin, so that would make sense. So I said, okay, give back the same amount. But if gold itself is a product, so then it went up intrinsically itself, up and down the value. And therefore, he's going to be giving back more than what he took. That would be the problem with ribis. Obviously, Reb Chiya holds, like the first version of Rebbe, that gold is considered a coin and not a product. And nothing more says, no, actually not a raya. Rav dinari havele. At that point in time, when he borrowed from his cousin the golden coins, he actually had somewhere golden coins when he borrowed these golden coins from the daughter of Reb Chiya. But v'kiven da havele dinari. Now, since he had those other golden coins, so nasa ka'imala, it's as if he told her the following type of phraseology. Hilvini achayovabini, lend me these golden coins until my son comes, because he'll come, he'll bring me the golden coins I have, I'll be able to give it to you. I have it, it's just not here right now. Or until I found the key. Because the Gemara there teaches regarding the halacha of sa b'sa, that if he tells the person that he's borrowing from, lend me until my son comes, or until I get the key, I have it, I just don't have it available right now, so please lend it to me, then actually what happens is, the actual saw that he has, just he doesn't have it accessible, that's why he's borrowing from someone else, is as if it's acquired at that moment that he gets the loan to the lender, to the malva. Therefore, even though it goes up in price, now he's giving him back something more expensive, the same amount, but it's more expensive now, it's actually like it went up in the reshus of the malva. So therefore, since this whole halacha of saw b'saw is only rabbinic halacha, so therefore in such a case where we could consider it as if it was already in the domain of the lender, there the rabbi said that that's not a violation of the halachas of saw b'saw of ribis, and therefore it says the Gemara that you could say was the same thing with the story with Reb Chiya. There's no proof that Reb Chiya held that gold is a coin, and therefore although he's giving back something worth more, that wasn't a problem about ribis. No, could be considered as a pre, and generally it would be a problem. The reason why it wasn't was because Rav had his own golden coins. So it says, if he said, give me these golden coins until my son will come, or until I get the key, meaning until I get to it, but right now it's just not accessible, but since he has it, it's like it's already hers, the daughter of Chiya, and therefore it went up in her domain, not in his domain, and therefore you could give it back the same amount of coins, because that's not considered ribis, again, since it's rabbinic, and it's like as if she already has it, therefore that's no problem, but you could still say the gold is a pre, like the later version of Rebbe, and not necessarily like the earlier version of Rebbe, to say that it is a coin. Now, Amar Rava, so to Amar Rava, again, like the earlier version of Rebbe, says, Hai Tana Sava Dehava Tevahava. The following Tana, the Braisa, holds that gold is considered the currency and not the pre. The Tana, like we learned in the Braisa. The Braisa says, Pruta Sha'amru. Regarding this, that in Halacha we talk about many times a Pruta, which is lowest denomination of currency. What do they mean by that? That's echad mishmoyne be'isser hitalke. That's 1/8 of the Italian isser, which is a certain type of a coin. So it says the Gemara l'may nafkamin. Of what halachic relevancy is the Braisa teaching us regarding what is considered the value of a pruta? That's l'kedusha isha. That's for the kedushin to get engaged to a woman, which the Gemara in kedushin tells us in the beginning that that is with a pruta. So that's what the Braisa is teaching you, that it's not really a pruta that that is the indicator. A pruta is 1/8 of the Italian Isser. But if the Italian Isser goes up or down, that's how you're going to fluctuate the value of the pruta. It's based on being 1/8 of the Italian Isser. So to Isser, says the Braisa, what is the value of an Isser? That's echad me'esrim va'abo b'dinah shel kesef. That's 1/24 of the silver dinar. Again, not necessarily what the Isser is, but it actually depends on the silver dinar, and it's 1/24 of that. Says the Gemara l'may nafkimina. What's the halachic relevancy of this halacha? That's l'mekei chamemker. That's for business dealings. If let's say somebody sells him a dinner for more than 24 isarin, so whatever is more than that is considered in the area of oina, which we're going to discuss in later mishnayos regarding price fraud. It's overcharging, and if let's say that overcharging is more than the sixth, then he has to give back all that excess of the charging because you can't overcharge more than the sixth. So it's important to understand the value of the isser. Of 1/24 of a silver dinner, because if someone charges more than that, then that's already entering the area of Aina. Continues the Braisa, dinner shel kesef. What's the value of a silver dinner? That's echad mi esrim v'chamisha bedinner shel zav. That's 1/25 of a golden dinner. So ask the Gemara l'may nafkimina. For what halachic relevancy is that? Says the Gemara l'pidin haben. It's for the redemption of the firstborn son, which one gives the kayin. 5 shekel. Now, the biblical shekel is a sela. A sela is 4 golden dinar, which 4 times 5, because you have to give 5 of them, is 20 silver dinar. Now, if the father of the son gives to the kohen a golden dinar, so then the kohen has to give him back 5 silver dinar, because it's 25 in a golden coin, and he only has to give him 20, because it's 4 to every shekel. 4 times 5 is 20, says to give him back 5. That's the importance of understanding how much is the silver dinner in contrast to a golden dinner in when the father would give him a dinner shel zav. Says the Gemara, says Rava, Iyamit Bishleima, if you say that gold, tiva hava, that gold is considered a coin, again, like the earlier version of Rebbe, not the way we have it in our Mishnah, and as we explained before, price fluctuations do not go up or down in the currency itself. It's in the products themselves, in the merchandise, that they're the things that have fluctuations. So if you say that gold is a coin, and it doesn't change, it's always absolute, so then we could understand that Mishar Tana, that the Tana would evaluate for the halachas of Pinya Bein, b'midi d'kitz, in something that is set, meaning a coin, a currency, gold, which is a set amount, because even at a time that you cannot sell a golden coin for more than 20 silver coins, because although we said before that generally you could get 25 silver coins for one dinar zahav, if let's say the price changes and you could only get from one dinar zahav 20 silver coins, still the coin's going to have to give him back a fifth of that money, again, because that's how we're qualifying the value of a dinar, a kesef, is always going to be 1/25 of the dinner zav. So if let's say they're doing it's 25 silver coins is one dinner zav. So if let's say someone goes to purchase a dinner zav, so how much does he give him back? So let's say regarding the kayin, if he's giving the kayin for the pinya ben of his son, what he gets back from the kayin is a fifth of the value. Because again, he has to give 20 silver coins, which are 5 shkalim. And although generally, when the market value is that you could generally buy a dinar zav for 20 silver coins, so you would think, okay, so then he has to give the kohen the entire dinar zav, because that's what 20 silver coins are, and that's how much the 5 shkalim are. And that's what the Gemara is explaining, that no, if he gives to the kohen the dinar zav, the kohen is going to give him back a fifth of his money, which are 4 dinar. Because again, gold is constantly set to be 25 silver dinar, because it's the coin. And the silver is considered the pre in contrast to the gold. Now, it's the product that goes up or down. But so let's say the same thing would be the other way around. Let's say now the market value of silver is higher, is lower, that you actually get for one golden coin, you get 30 silver coins. So again, what is the kohen going to give him back when the father of the child gives the kohen a golden coin? He's going to give him back a fifth of the money, which in this case are going to be 6 dinar. Because again, the money is always set, and you always get from the kohen 4/5 back. Because again, as we said, in a perfect world, we view 25 silver coins are one golden coin. That's how we evaluate in halacha, and therefore, 20 silver coins are 5 shkalim. So when one gives to the kohen a golden coin, he has to give him back a fifth, which generally he would give him back 5 coins. But the price of silver could fluctuate because it is the pre, and therefore sometimes he'll give him back 4 coins, sometimes he'll give him back 6 coins. But that's how the halacha of Pinyabin would work. If you say that gold is the coin. But says the Gemara, Eli'i Amrit, Pei Rehava. But if you say gold is the product, the way we have it in our Mishnah, then how do we understand this? Mishar Tanis, or the Tan of the Bryce, is evaluating the halacha of Pinyabin, Bemidi de Oike Bezil, and something that goes up or down in price. But Zimnin de Mahadi Lekahana, but then if that's going to be the case, then sometimes it's going to be that the coin will give him back money. Zimnin de Maisel Le'ihu Lekahana, he's going to have to give himself more money to the coin. Because again, depending on the value of gold, which that's something that could go up and down, well, it can be that it'll go lower down than the 20 silver coins. And therefore, if he's giving to the coin, the golden coin, he actually might have to add more. Versus if, let's say, it went up in price, the coin's going to have to get him back. So Elish Maminos, or rather says Rav, what we can infer from the time of this price, that Tiva Havish Maminos, that obviously gold is considered the coin, like the earlier version of Rabbi. And that's how the time of the Mishnah tells you, the time of the price tells you, that you should know that 25 silver coins is one golden coin, which again, what that means to say is that how do we qualify the silver coins, not based on its own value, but in contrast to the golden coin, which that's the constant, because that's the currency. That's how we evaluate. It's always going to be 25 to the coin, which therefore in the halacha of Pinyabin means to say that when you give the coin a golden dinner, he's going to give you back 1/5, because it's always 4/5, 20 out of 25 is really what the 5 shkolim of the Pinyabin are, and therefore no matter on the value, he's always going to give you back 1/5. That would make sense, but if you said that gold is the pre, then it's something that goes up and down. That wouldn't make sense that he would qualify the value of halacha Pinyabin for something that's not even the constant. So again, that is like a proof, like the earlier version of Rebbe from the Tana this Braisa. Now the Gemara continues, Tanan Hasam, we learned within the Mishnah Masechtas Maaser Sheni, that will reflect on this discussion regarding gold and silver, which one is the coin and which one is the pre. So Beshami say, Lo yasa odim saloim. A person cannot convert his saloim. In other words, if someone has silver saloim, a sela is a coin, a certain silver sela of Maaser Sheni, which Allah is if someone, when he has produce, that he works in agriculture, he has to give truma, he has to give Maaser Rishon, to the Levi, to the Ani, and then there's Maaser Sheni, a second tithe, which he has to take up that produce and eat it in Yerushalayim. Now, that could be a big tircha, to have to take truckloads up to Yerushalayim. So what he could do, and it says that in the Pasuk, he could convert that produce onto money, deconsecrate the money, and take that money up to Yerushalayim and use it to buy food over there. So let's say someone has silver saloin of Maaser Sheni, says Bishamai, you're not allowed to convert that to Dinrei Zahav, into golden coins, which you can have less golden coins with the same amount of silver coins, so he wants to make his load even lighter, he's not allowed to convert those silver coins onto the golden dinar. Ubeisil matirin, but Beisil says it's permitted, you're allowed to convert that silver coins, which you had converted the Maaser Sheni produce onto the silver coins, you could take those silver coins and then make it even less amount of coins into the golden coins and take that up to Yerushalayim. Now, the Gemara says, Rabbi Yechon v'Rish Lakish. His machlekes Rabbi Yechon v'Rish Lakish, how to qualify this machlekes Beisham Beisil. Chara Omar, one of them says, Machlekes b'saloim al dinar. One of them says their whole machlekes is regarding taking the silver coins and then deconsecrating that onto the golden dinar. The Bishami savi Bishami hold kaspa tiva. The silver is considered the coin. And again, this discussion is the same as the two versions we have from Rebbe of our Mishnah when he was younger. One Bishami holds that silver is the coin. V'dahava peira, and gold is the product. Now, v'tiva apeira le'mechalinon. You cannot deconsecrate a coin, which is what the silver saloim are, onto a pri. Because the Torah tells you, v'tzarta ha-kesev, that you have to bind and deconsecrate onto money, and the money you can take a bishlam, but you can't take the Maaser Sheni produce and deconsecrate it onto produce. So since the money is considered a coin, and the gold is considered peri, you can't do that over here. That the halachas of chil don't allow that, and therefore you can't do that. But Abisil hold that no, kaspa peri. The silver is considered the peri, v'dahavativa, and gold is considered more primary, as we said, it's considered the coin, and the peri, ativa, mechalina, you could, therefore you could deconsecrate the silver coins that we're considering on some level a pre onto the coin, which is what the gold is. Aval, but says this opinion, whether it be Rabbi Yochanan or Shlach Lakish, which the Gemara later is going to attempt to say which is which opinion, Aval Peiris, but the original produce of the Meister Sheni says this opinion, this Amira, al dinarin, to deconsecrate it onto golden coins. Everybody agrees that you could take Peiris and deconsecrate it onto golden coins, even according to Beis Shammai, who they said that the golden coins is considered a pre regarding the silver coins. They agree that, however, in regards to Peiris themselves, the golden coins are considered currency, are considered coins. My time, but what's the reason? Because gold, according to Beis Shammai, we learn, just like silver is by Beis Hill, as the Gemara explains. Kesav lebeisil, silver according to beisil, silver coins. Avagav de kaspel lagabe de have a peirav. Although he clearly says his opinion that Mishnah Maaseh Sheni, that silver in regards to gold is considered the peiri, and therefore you could deconsecrate the silver onto the golden coins. But lagabe peiri tiva have, but the silver coins in regards to the produce itself is considered a coins. Now the reason why we know that is because the premise that case of the Mishnah Maaseh Sheni starts off with is with you have silver saloin of Maaseh Sheni. So obviously you had taken the payers and were machal them on the silver coins. So obviously Basil agrees that it has the sanctity of Maaseh. Now the Machlekes says, can you then take that and deconsecrate it onto golden coins? Obviously Basil holds that although in regards to the golden coins it's the pre, and therefore you could take it to the next step of gold, but in regards to the Maaseh Sheni produce itself, it's considered a coin because you could only deconsecrate it onto currency. So therefore says the Gemara, Zav Namel Beis Shammai. So the same thing is gold for Beis Shammai is the same thing. Avagav de Dahava Lagabi Kaspa Meir Perahav, although gold in contrast to silver is a peri, and that's why you cannot take the silver and then move it onto gold, because you can't take from a coin onto peri. But Lagabi Peri Tevahava, but regards to produce itself, gold itself is considered a currency, and therefore you could take it from the produce to the golden coin, even according to Beis Shammai. That's one opinion. Chadam or the other Amir, whether it be Rabbi Yochanan or Rish Lakish, says that no, af bepeiris al dinar in machlekes. The machlekes b'sham beisil is even from taking peiris and deconsecrating onto golden coins. And that is b'shamay holds that the dinar are always considered a peiri, they're not considered currency, and therefore you cannot be machal the maaseh sheni produce onto golden coins. That's the machlekes amirom in regards to this machlekes b'sham beisil, which again we see the primary machlekes b'sham beisil is this discussion that we're having in these two versions of Rebbe in the halacha of our Mishnah. The whole machlekes is, however, regarding how much does b'sham considered as a pre? Is that only in contrast to a silver coin, or is that even always is considered as a pre, even in regards to peiris themselves? So the Gemara asks, ulamanda am, according to this last opinion that says af b'peiris al dinar machlekes, that even in regards to peiris, that you cannot, Bishamah holds, you cannot deconsecrate it unto golden coins. So ask the Gemara, Sa'adimiflugi b'sloin al-dinar. So then why does that Mishnah Maaseh Sheni have the Machlekes Bishamah's Hill? If you're allowed to be Machal, silver coins unto golden coins, what do you mean? Say even the bigger Chiddush. Liflig b'peiris al-dinar. And they should have the dispute from even peiris onto golden coins. And Bishamah should say that even over there you cannot be Mechal. And of course, then I would know for a Kol Shekein that you cannot deconsecrate silver coins onto golden coins, because if gold, even in regards to Peiris, is considered Peiri, for sure in regards to silver, which is for sure an ultimate coin, it's for sure going to be considered Peiri. So why'd we say it only Slol and Adinar? You could even say it even from Peiris Adinar. Says the Gemara, if the dispute would have been only from produce on golden coins, so have a mina, so then I would have said that actually Beis Hill does not dispute Beis Shammai, only Hanamili, when was this said, Beperis al dinarin, from produce onto golden coins, that's where Beis Hill holds that, okay, so that's where golden coins are considered a coin. Of Besaloin al dinarin, but then I would have thought to say, but regards to silver coins, to golden coins, Moidulehen Beisil Beishamai, that then Beisil agrees to Beishamai, that you cannot deconsecrate the silver coins to the golden coins, because the Dahavlega Bekaspa Perahava, because then I would say that gold, in regards to silver, is considered a pre Veloy Mechalinon, and that you cannot deconsecrate. Kamash Malan, that's why we have to say the Machlek is for the purpose of Beisil's opinion. Yeah, for Beishamai, would have been a big Chiddush from Peiris on dinar. But we said it specifically from Salon Adinar to say the Chiddush and Beisil, to say that even over there, Beisil holds that the Hava gold is going to be considered as the coin, even in regards, not just to regards to Peri, but even in regards to Salon, to silver coins.